Please be seated, and we'll have the message brought to us by, again, Mr. Monty Knudsen.
I like it when we sing hymns to God that, you know, cry out to Him and ask Him for His guidance and His direction, His help. And that tied in very well with the sermonette, and hopefully ties well with the message today. What do you think the most powerful thing on earth is? I mean, we got a lot of things that have been created. You know, we've got nuclear reactors. You've got a lot in this world. But many studies and research have been done to figure out just how our brain works. The brain, our brain, the one that God created, is the most powerful thing on this earth, other than God, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. God has given us this brain. Now, all living creatures, maybe there's some, you know, what God has designed that maybe don't have a brain, but from my understanding, they all have brains. Why are we as human beings different? We're different than the animals. We've been given a spirit in man. A spirit, as we'll discuss as we go through, to think, to be able to reason, to have a conscience, and to act appropriately. God has given us this brain, which is the most powerful thing on this earth. This gift, like the first Adam has, mankind, can choose to be opinionated, judgmental, self-motivated, stubborn. They can lie, they can deceive, and we can even be deceived with this brain that we've got. Then the second Adam comes along, Jesus Christ, right? And shows us another way to be like God. And the hymns that we sing, it's all to be like Him. Show me the way to walk. Direct my paths. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 2, 11, it says, "For what man knows the things of a man, except what we know as a man, how can we know these things as a man, except the spirit of man, which is in him." And that's a small s. It's a spirit in man. And when we die, that spirit, that memory, those thoughts, those things, they're stored in heaven, like in a blueprint file, until we're resurrected. But it's the spirit in man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Holy Spirit of God. So there's these two spirits. The animals don't have a spirit. They can't think. They can't reason. And we're all influenced by Satan. We have nice animals, and we have very animals that will eat you. But imagine the process of this brain that we have. We were able to process things, right? Then we have output. We process it, then we have an output, whether it's good or whether it's bad. It's a conclusion that we come up with. And a lot of time we come up with deductions that we see in other people. It's not that we always look at the best in others. We're always looking at the worst in others. Think about that. Think about when you look at someone. You come into contact with someone. Just coming to church today, putting this message together. We're in traffic. And this person in front of us was just really holding up a long line. And I just said openly, "Oh, you got to decide what to do." They had their blinker on, and cars were opening them up for them to get in. And my wife goes, "Oh, maybe they're a new driver." And I said, yeah, you're right. I just shouldn't have said that. I just said, come on, you got to decide what to do. All right? But how do I know what was in their mind? How do I know if it wasn't a new driver? They weren't sitting there on purpose holding up traffic. There was a reason for it. Maybe they couldn't see very well. Maybe they're an old person. I don't know. They didn't tell me. I can't read minds. But see, we process things and we make judgments. And it's always about looking at someone in a negative way. So how mindful are we in using our words? So I corrected myself and said, you're right, I should not have said that. How mindful are we in using our words? Our words express who we are. I'm in a hurry. Let's get going. I mean, I like to turn into traffic real quick. I was in the Teamsters Union. I was a driver, all right? But you know what? Not everyone is that way. It's by our words that we will be judged by. So today, let's look at our words. Because it's by our words that will tell a lot about who we are. The words that come out of our mouth will tell us who we are. The words that we use, we talk about everything and everyone. They will describe how we feel, they'll describe how we think, and they can be uplifting or they can be judgmental. They'll tell us whether we're self-focused or godly focused by what comes out of our mouth. So the title of the message today is, how important are your words? Now when I say your, I'm included in that. Now I use that word your because Christ uses that word your, which we'll turn to in just a minute. How important are our words? It's by our words that we will be judged. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12. And we'll start in Matthew chapter 12, for those who want to turn there. And we'll start in verse 31. As we go through this, we can ask the question about how mindful are we in the way we use our words? Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Jesus Christ, these words are written in red. Therefore I say to you. Now he's talking here to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He says, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. So what he's saying here, the slander, the railing, the hurting, wrecking someone's name, that can be forgiven. When we see that we're wrong, when we see that we do it, that can be forgiven. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven of men. So if we know we're doing it, and we do not want to change, and we know it's wrong, God can't forgive that sin. He can't. So we must be overcoming. And he repeats this. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. So if we speak against the words of God and we sin, it can be forgiven as long as we want to repent. As long as we're not willingly just doing it over and over and over and say, oh, I can use that gift of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to repent every time. I can just willingly do it. No, we can't. But if our heart is like, I messed up, I want to change, then we could be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. But if we know again we're doing it, and we shouldn't be doing it, and we don't care, can't be forgiven. It says, neither in this age or in the age to come. And he was talking to the Pharisees, and it's also for us as well. They knew they were wrong. They knew this was Christ, and they would not change. So he's telling them, that cannot be forgiven. 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good. So either change, repent, and make that fruit good of who you are. Or else, make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Who we are, what we say, what we do, the fruit that we produce, whether it's good or bad, we're known by that. Now, if we produce bad fruit, we want to quickly repent. We want to be changing, and we want to be putting on good fruit. It's not just stop saying things that are wrong, but it's replacing those words. Because we're responsible to replace those words for good words. Like, I'm sorry, I love you, as we'll see as we go into the message. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So who we are inside is what we really bring out through our mouth. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So this is what he's telling the Pharisees. But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, for every unprofitable word is what he's saying here. For every unprofitable word. We got to think about my words. Are my words profitable? Who am I? Who am I? Mr. Tuck mentioned, was it last week, about we should become like God. And someone mentioned today that they were called a peacemaker. Well, we want to move you up. We want you to help or other employees, even the seasoned employees, because we look at you as a peacemaker. And the person goes, I'm a peacemaker? But we become these things. We become like God, and we may not even see it. We look at ourselves as being short. And that's a good thing, as we'll get into here in a little bit. But it says, for every idle word that men speak. So any word that's unprofitable, if it's not uplifting, right? Who's going to dwell in the holy kingdom as we sang, I think, the first or second song today? It's those who speak the right words, who are uplifting. So if we're not repenting, we're not changing, what does it say? For every idle word that men may speak, those that are not profitable words, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. So that time when it comes to judgment, to eternal life or eternal death, what's God going to say about us? For by your words you will be justified, you'll be made right, you'll be made complete, you'll be given eternal life, and by your words you will be condemned, eternal death. So our words do mean a lot. So it's by our words that we'll be known by, isn't it? And it's by our words that we will be judged. God has given us a responsibility to be in control of what we say and what we do. So my point number one was, I have 3 points, to consider as we look at the words we use. Because, again, it's the words that we use that will determine whether God's going to give us eternal life or eternal death. It's not just accepting Jesus as, okay, I accept you as my personal Savior. All right? We do that. We do do that. But we walk as Jesus Christ walked. He tells us to keep His law. And we fall short in that. But it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that our sins can be forgiven as we go to God. That sacrifice is there for us. God's not going to want a bunch of people in His kingdom that we just accept Jesus Christ and we can get to do whatever we want and fighting and arguing and say the wrong words. We must see that we're wrong. We must see that we must change. So number one is make our words be a blessing to others. So as we look at these points, want us to look at them from the standpoint of the words that we use will determine either eternal life or eternal death. So number one, make our words be a blessing to others. Let's not use unprofitable words. Our words need to be good words, godly words, uplifting words. When we see others, how do we look at them? The mind wants to look at others as, you know, as a negative. God says that can't be. So we must change those unprofitable words, and we must say to our mates, our children, that we love them, that we care for them, encourage one another. That's what the whole book is filled of. Jesus Christ and God the Father, of encouraging us to be like them. And so we need to be replacing those words. Every time that word comes out of our mouth, that's wrong, that's evil. That's evil fruit. But we're supposed to be a tree that bears good fruit. So we replace the evil with good fruit and saying uplifting words, encouraging. So every time that we do that, we look at ourselves and say, that's wrong. And we just do what God says. I must be encouraging. That's the good fruit. Now, God sent his son to die for all mankind, right? Even Judas. He even washed his feet and he knew he was going to betray him. We are kind to everyone, no matter what they do to us. Doesn't mean we always have to hang around them because we don't need to be standing there and be a punching bag. We still forgive. So the spirit in man gives us perspective. All right? Jesus Christ was saying these words to individuals who did not have the Holy Spirit. But he was telling them, what you're doing is wrong. I wanted to go back and read verse 34. So when it says that a bad tree is known by its fruit, in verse 34 he says, "Brood of vipers, how can you who are evil speak good things?" So how can we, being evil, who we are, and pretend to be good? Because they pretended to be good. "Brood of vipers," he called them snakes. You're a group of poisonous snakes there to devour the people around you. We don't want to be a poisonous snake. They didn't want to hear the words of God the Father that Jesus Christ was speaking. Point number two. We know that we are to have our words to be a blessing to others. Point number two is, are we going to do it? We must hear and apply the words of Jesus Christ. We must hear, let's just say, we must hear the words of Jesus Christ. That's point number two. We must hear. So we have an imagination with this most powerful thing on earth, this brain that we have. And we can process things. And we can come to conclusions. But that output is to be different than what comes to mind. Because Paul says, the things that I want to do, I don't always do that. The things that I don't want to do, that's what comes to mind. So we must continue to fight to overcome. Because we tend to be negative. If we're honest with ourselves, we tend to be negative about others. I was thinking about that this week, and it's true. Think of the circumstances that we go through this week. And every time something comes up, when we look at a person and the things that they do, are we positive or are we negative? We're human beings, all right? And a lot of times, through that spirit in man, with the influence of Satan, it's always about being negative, chopping someone off at the knees. Oh, I'm better than that. Someone tells us a story and we one-up it. We're to produce good fruit. So we must hear the words of Jesus Christ. We are to eliminate our words of the deductions of others. So, and then God comes along and says, hey, you're going to be known by your words. Justified or condemned by what comes out of our mouth. So the question that we can ask ourselves, the question I have to ask myself, are we determined? Are we determined? Just do it, right? Nike? Are we determined to hear these words? Or are they just going to go in one ear and out the other? As someone was telling me just before services. This doesn't go in one ear and out the other if God is calling us. It keeps coming back. What are we going to choose to do? God has given us impulses, which through this brain we put into action. Are they good actions or are they wrong actions? Through our eyes and what we see, through our hands, through our feet. Are we listening? Are we not listening? Should I not be listening to that? All this through the spirit in man we can reason. Should I be doing it? Should I not be doing it? All human beings have the spirit of man. Should I be doing it or should not be doing it? We'll point the finger at everyone else. You shouldn't be doing that. Well, we can see it in others, but we can't always see it in ourselves. So we become very observant as we look around. And if we're honest with ourselves, we become judgmental. And that's what we have to fight. The brain, through impulses, sees what happens in past experiences in our lives, situations. And then we make deductions about that person, of what we've experienced in the past. We can judge others by what they did yesterday, what they're doing today, and we don't even know if they've repented. Hopefully, we as individuals can say we're sorry, because that's a responsibility that we must be doing. When we, around this world, we have television, right? We have all kinds of shootings. We see it, we hear it all the time. What if we go out in the parking lot and someone comes out of the car with a gun? What are we going to do? What comes to our mind? Mass shootings. Oh, but hey, it was just the rabbi bringing his gun in. No bullets. Maybe to get it to someone to get it fixed. Maybe we don't know. But what jumps in our minds is a gun. Possible. Maybe a shooting. And we react, don't we? When you watch TV shows, usually a crime scene type shows, they don't really tell you who did it, do they? Not until you get to the end and you go, I never knew that. But they get you to lead that maybe it's this person or that person. And the person that they're questioning is denying the things and they're giving an alibi. But then you got everyone saying, well, no, this, and they're leading that it's possibly this person, and we've already made a judgment call watching TV that, yep, it's that person. And we find, oh, it wasn't. What about real life? Do we give people the benefit of the doubt? Are we always having to be negative on individuals? This past week, I've been going bike riding with Rio and Mike. I'm not going to say Mike's last name because this gets taped. But we go bike riding. We definitely do it every Sunday. I try to do it more often than that. During the week when they don't know, I'm doing more to get stronger. Right? But so was it last Sunday? We get up early in the morning and we go into the mountain and we climb some steep hills. They got this one hill. It's called Cardiac Hill. All right? And not everyone can get up it, all right? But, and usually when we get up that hill, after we've already been biking 30 minutes, we come to that hill and we get to the peak of it, We usually sit and rest for 5 or 10 minutes, at least 5 minutes. But we got to the hill last Sunday. I rested 10 seconds and I said, well, we all know where we're going to end up. And I went down that hill. All right. And I just did it as, okay, those are going to stay behind. But no, they didn't. They came right behind me. And I couldn't really look behind me. And, you know, I could be thinking in my carnality, here's two young guys. They're thinking, we're not going to let some old guy beat us, right? I don't know what they're thinking, but how many times do we look at that? We've heard that. Oh, you're going to let an old guy beat you, right? We hear that all the time. So in my mind, I didn't think that, but I'm using this as an example. What if I thought that? Oh, these guys, you know, because in my mind I hear that all the time. Young guys, they never want to let an old man beat them. And I'm working up my legs and wanted to get down there. And I said, hey, I'll just meet you at the end where we're always at. But you know what? If I carried that further, and that was my mindset, that, you know what? I get home, I tell my wife that, you know what? Mike and Rio, you know, they were on my tail and they were driving real fast. They didn't want this old guy to beat them. They never said it, but I'm assuming it. And I sort of tell my wife that. What happens? What does my wife do? My wife could, if I did say that, and I didn't say that, but my wife could, and we know situations about this, my wife could carry that on. In her mind, these two individuals don't respect her husband. They don't respect old people. And then she goes on and tells other people that, hey, these two guys, you know what, they're not really following authority, right? They don't respect old people, and they don't respect other people. And then next thing you know, they're already named in the church. That, hey, they don't respect authority. All based on something that I said that maybe I thought that they said. It becomes a very complex situation in how people determine who we are and what we do. We all do this. If you think about it, we all put words in people's mouths. Through this process, we judge. We decide then who we want to spend time with and who we don't. We build in our mind and what we believe about a person. We hear those words, we process those words, and then we make assessments and beliefs on who that person is. And they never even said it. We see that on TV all the time. Someone doing something. And the media just goes right out. This person's doing this and that. We all do dumb things. Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. We must look at what we do and see if it's right, if it's wrong, and look at what we say and see what those words are. We can also judge people by their movements, right? We see someone walk in. There's one time I was, first job ever, I was in the 9th grade. My boss kicked me in the rear end, literally, sideways with his foot. But I deserved it, in a sense, all right, I don't have instinct. I have to be taught, right? So I can look at that as, I get really mad at him, or look at it as a positive. But I was walking sort of cool. You know what? I just wanted to be noticed by the boss. But that's not how you do it. I learned, right? He pulled a dollar out of his pocket and explained to me what a prophet was. So then I can change. Now I know what things cost. And they only make at that time, if he was telling me the truth, they only make like a penny or two per dollar in net profit at the grocery store. So at that point, I worked hard to make sure that they could get that one penny for every dollar. So He could look at me as just being a slough off, and he could have fired me, right? He judged me like, hey, cool, kick me in the butt, right? I just wanted to be noticed by the boss and respected, and I thought that's how you did it. All right? I was in the ninth grade. But why I did it and what I was doing was two different things. We can judge people by how a person is looking, right? I can see it in your eyes. I know what you're thinking, right? How many times have we said that? I can see it on your face. Or maybe we roll our eyes. And maybe sometimes we do roll our eyes. But maybe maybe there's something there. Sometimes we see these, you know, I'm not sure if that style is still in, the baggy pants, no, go down to your knees. Well, we judge everyone. All right? There's a time I forgot my belt. And since I've been biking, I think I've lost 10 pounds, and my pants go down. I wasn't like one of those guys, but people could be judging me, hey, pull up your pants. Right? So when we see these things, when we see everyone doing it, what comes to mind? What are our thoughts? We can judge people by the way they stand. Right? We can judge people by what they don't say. I can tell by your silence what you're thinking. Right? Can we really? I mean, the human mind can process very quickly judgments and motives about other people. But we must let it go. Remember, broad of vipers, Jesus Christ said, you snakes, you group of snakes. Well, of course, he's talking about them. It's not me. No, we're all human beings. We all must see where we're wrong. And we want to get that vicious snake out of our system. We want to be producing good fruit. We want to be repenting, as we heard in the first message. So another question for us. What information, what words am I casting out that's hurtful? Think about that. Maybe we don't even have to think back too far. What have I said that's hurtful? Remember, every idle word, every beneficial word, we're going to be judged by it. So we want to get rid of them. We want to repent of them. We don't want to be speaking those words. We need to be replacing those words. We must be careful. We cannot know another person's thoughts. We cannot elevate ourselves to be like God. Only God can read the mind. We can't read each other's minds. And we don't want to put words in other people's mouths, and we don't want to judge them. God knows the mind. He knows the heart. He knows our thoughts. That's why he's able to judge rightly. We can't. You know, sometimes I can't always express what I'm thinking. I'm not always good at it. And sometimes we can get judged by some of our words. Sometimes it's hard to express. You know, there was a cartoon I was looking at, and, you know, science has done studies that women have better intuition than men. That's good. You know, my wife, she helps me with that. All right? But there was this cartoon where this man was talking to his buddy. And he said, yeah, my wife has great intuition. Just as I open my mouth before I can say anything, she says no. All right? But it's for all of us. How many times do we interrupt people? We don't let them to finish what they're saying. We like to finish their words. Our mind can go so much faster than we can speak. It's racing. And we hear what we want to hear, and we make judgments about others, unwise judgments. And then we call this, I am a great multitasker, right? I can multitask. And we're not paying attention. So we make judgments on very little information. And when others pass this information off to others, which is often biased, right? It's not accurate. There's no merit. Then there are assumptions. Then there are comparisons. And then there are deductions about that individual. I've done it. I hate it. That we want to hear the words of Jesus Christ. So then we can come to conclusions when we do that. We come to conclusions and we have the authority. We know. I've witnessed it. And we just cut that person off. We can speak with integrity. I can speak with integrity about that situation because I heard and we know everything about that person. We do this. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. We're given the most powerful thing on this earth. And we are to control this most powerful thing, this brain. Paul tells us, we know this, we heard it in the first message. How many caught his slip up of saying Passover instead of Pentecost? How many caught that? Just a slip of the tongue. A few did. Probably not everyone heard that. He was talking about the upcoming Feast of Pentecost. And I've slipped up many times. We all do. Sometimes we say the wrong thing and we think we said this thing. And we'll fight tooth and nail that, no, I didn't say that. And we hold on to it. And we get into arguments about it. And there's times something is said and we don't even hear it. And we'll say, you never said that. We do it all the time. Ephesians 3:16. We must control this most powerful thing. Ephesians 3:16. Paul is saying here that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory. God wants us to give Him glory. How's that done? To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That Spirit in man. So the two spirits combined, knowing that I need help. I can't do it on my own. We can't. As we heard in the first message, we need the Spirit of God. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthened with all might. This is power. We can change. Do we believe? Do we believe we can change? Are we going to hear the words? According to His glorious power, which is the Holy Spirit, unto all, for us, unto all who will endure, who all will be patient and long-suffering. Those are going to suffer because people are going to step on our toes. They're going to devalue our name. They're going to say things. They're going to do things. It happens all the time. That's what everyone does. But you know what? If we are applying that good fruit through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, if we're hearing these words, we'll do it with joyfulness. That's what it says. Joyfulness, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you why and how we're able to do that in the closing. Something that we can focus on, that we can work on during the week. How can I be joyous? Well, we know we're supposed to do it. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what's our thinking? What's our thinking of our fellow man? The fruit of God's Holy Spirit is self-control. God tells us to control our mind. It's something that we must do. We're given the understanding. We're given the process. Last point. I sort of mixed it up with my second point, but we hear the words. We hear these words, right? And the reason I use that as my second point, because we hear in the Bible that God says, I don't just want hearers only. We hear it. We know what the word says, right? But I want doers. Point number three is we must apply. We must apply what we hear. We must apply God's ways. We don't want to be idle. You know, we have that scripture in 1 Timothy as Paul is teaching Timothy, talking about the young widows who are going around being idle. They don't have a job. They're not really doing anything, but they're just being idle, going around, gossiping, and being busybodies. Have you heard anything on anyone? Talk, 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 talk. That's just not for them. It's also for us. What do we do in our idle time? Are we gossiping? Are we uplifting? Are we using those unprofitable words, or are we using profitable words? You know what? Looking at this message, and I have to be honest with myself, can I ever say anything accurately about anyone? Except for being complimentary. I don't know who you are. If I can't say anything good, I shouldn't say it. Can we ever really get to know a person? God knows the heart, right? God knows the mind. He knows the thoughts. Can we ever really get to know a person? We like to judge others. We get up here, we get in here, we'll give stories and examples. We'll talk about the scribes and the Pharisees and what they did and what they're doing and their judgment. But do we ever look at that? Well, maybe I'm a scribe and a Pharisee. We look at the examples of the disciples, of them always jockeying for position and wanting to be first. We always see, and they couldn't get that. It took a long time for them to get it. But do we turn that around and could that be me? Could that be me? You know, this what Mr. Tuck wrote in his commentary to us is Israel coming out of Egypt. We have to look at that as ourselves. And we need to be coming out. And we got to be kind to our brother. That's our calling. It's what God has done and has set the example for us. Jesus Christ in the Bible, when he was doing these examples with these individuals, throughout the Bible, he would always say, I do not condemn you either. So why do we condemn? He says, go and sin no more. Try to make a change. Through God's Holy Spirit, we can be loving children. Let's go over to James chapter 3. We begin to wrap this up. I mean, our minds like to hear things, and then we process it with this very complicated brain, and then we make assumptions, we make decisions, and we fill in the details about everyone else, and then we condemn them, don't we? That's what we're fighting. That's what we want to overcome. Hopefully we're doing that less and less, and when we see it, we repent. James tells us about the tongue, James 3. Verse 5, James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, he says, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. It boasts great things about the self. I can do this. I've done that. Those talks about the self. In our conversations, when we hear other people talk, let's not judge them, but when they talk about themselves, let's think about it. Do I do that? Someone made that comment to me a couple weeks ago that, you know what? I was looking at someone, and I was asking myself, do I do that? And that person didn't put that other person down. They just looked at and said, do I do that? Do I do that? See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, if we allow it to be. It says, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Condemnation. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue on our own. Only with God's help. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. That's why Jesus Christ was saying, you brood of vipers, you snakes, you venomous, poisonous snakes. When we do that, that's what we are. Full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and our Father, and with it we'll curse men. We'll come here and bless God, and then we get done, we chop others off at their knees. We've been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things we must not ought to do. God says that we're not to judge by appearance. John 7:24. We're not even to judge by what we hear of another person. And we talk about other people all the time. And we'll make judgments. We should cut off that thought process, that speaking in our ears. We should run from it. For my wife and I, it's like, hon, I don't want to hear that. Oh, yep. We can help each other. I don't want to hear that. We need to judge with righteous judgment. And God's ways are righteous. We've all been called, and God doesn't want any single human being to perish. He loves everyone. He wants everyone to come to repentance. We all need to help each other to be on that path of the kingdom of God. So, all of this, what I've been saying, is it awkward to our minds? The spirit in man, of and by itself, without God's Holy Spirit, this is going to be awkward. What? We ask ourselves, I have to ask myself, does this sound awkward? Is it illogical for my human brain to wrap this around? Unless we take on a higher and greater mind than the one that we've been given, it will be awkward. I don't understand. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. Doesn't mean to give up. It means to cry out to God. There's a working remedy. I have two working remedies. Since we're in James, I'm going to turn over to chapter 5. James 5:16. Okay. Now this is what we can put into action this week. And every week and every day. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. Now that's not just saying, here, I'm going to get up here and confess all my sins to you. No, if I've sinned against another person, if we've said something to another person and they know it, all right, We confess it to them. We say, we're sorry. I'm sorry for thinking this way about you. I'm sorry for reacting this way. I'm sorry for doing this thing. And if we thought about it, about another person, and we said it to another person, we say we're sorry to them. We confess our sin. We get rid of that unprofitable, that idle word. And we confess to one another. When we do this to each other, that's giving God the glory. The world does not do it. Satan has turned it upside down. They're all yelling and pointing and accusing. We see it all the time. It's not to be that way in the church. We are to stand out. We're to be different. And the world will see it when that time comes. When that time comes, the world will see that we are different because we are different, because we're putting on that higher mind. So we're confessing our sins to one another when we do this to one another. And then we're praying for one another. Why? So that we can be healed spiritually. That's what it says. If we're not doing that, we can't be that way. We must get rid of the unprofitable word. We must be putting on profitable words. Galatians 6:1. Tie Galatians 5:16 into this. I just want to read it to you. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a sin, we see someone who has sinned, are we going to talk about him? Be judgmental? Chop him off at the knees? Tell everyone else. We know that's wrong. We know that we're a vicious snake when we do that. We're poisonous. We hear the words. So what are we going to do? Are we going to apply them? You who are spiritual. So we are spiritual. We understand. We're applying this process. Right? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. We're gentle. We're not in a rush to go point out their sin. Ah! No. We're gentle. We may not even bring it up to them, but we're gentle. Maybe we're changing around them. Maybe they will see it. Because it says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Are we praying for them? Get rid of those unprofitable thoughts. Those idle words. And replace it. Hey, a spirit of gentleness. No matter what they did to us or what they did to someone else, we're gentle. We're kind. We're patient. Mr. Tuck talked about, I'm going to turn over there real quick. Mr. Tuck talked about in his message last week about our prayers. And talking about the right prayer. What are we praying for? Everything we talked about today, do you think that these are all good things to pray about? Is this what's going to be pleasing God, giving Him glory? What happens to those prayers that go to God? Does He just hear them and throw them away? When we're praying like this and praying for help, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person, God quickly answers those prayers. They're stored in golden bowls. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Those who have been called by God and are applying those ways. The four creatures and the 24 elders have these golden censers with the prayers in them. And they're opened up for Jesus Christ to come back. The only one who's worthy to open that scroll. At that time, he hears the prayers of the saints. Forgive me. Help me to change. Help us to change, I should say, because the model prayer is about us. Help us to change. Help us to overcome. Forgive me of my sins. No, I don't hear any prayers from Monty. It's all about how good he is. Never sin. Not this. He's always talking about everyone else. In closing, let's turn over to Titus chapter 3. It's our words. Here we have Paul teaching Titus, a young minister, to go out and teach these words to the precious, precious sheep. You are precious. You are God's children. The whole world is God's children. Not everyone is listening right now. Not everyone wants to hear the calling. Not everyone is even being called right now. But he says, starting in verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers. So he's telling these individuals, be subject to rulers. Who's our ruler? The ultimate ruler is God the Father, and then Jesus Christ. Then we have authorities on that as well. And authorities. Now, when I go to camp, there's going to be people, depending on what situation I'm in, that are in charge of areas. They're my authority. And I have to listen. Do I want to listen? I must want to listen. If I don't, then I need to get on my knees and ask God to help me to listen. Help me to want to listen. So we all have people that we must obey. To obey, to be ready for every good work. We follow and we do every good work. And we esteem them better than ourselves, don't we? Because we have God's Holy Spirit and we can bring our thoughts into subjection and we can love all people, whether they're harsh or whether they're kind. Why? Because we have long suffering. We suffer long. And we're joyous in this because we have God's Holy Spirit. Why? Because we know how to produce good fruit through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we choose to do it. Verse 2, to speak evil of no one except those who hurt you. Nope, doesn't say that. Speak evil of no one. We suffer long. To be peaceable, to be gentle, showing humility to all men. Humility to all men. What do we think of other people? Are we chopping them off at the knees? It says humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, right? We didn't have God's Holy Spirit. We were once foolish. We have this spirit in man. We have this brain, we're able to process things, and things come out. They're not accurate. We're poisonous snakes. We were once foolish, he says. We were disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts, focusing on the self, and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But that's not us anymore. Shouldn't be. This is a good reminder. That's what it says. Remind them. We have to be reminded. I have to be reminded. Verse 4, but when the kindness of the love of God our Savior, God the Father wants to save us. He sent his son to die so that we could be saved. God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. We can do no good on our own. I know we understand that. He saved us through the washing of the generation and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ also wants to save us. That have been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This mind is limited, and we can't do it on our own. Of and by itself, we're limited. We must be focused on the higher power of the great mind of God the Father, who wants to help us to be able to receive these words and send it out to others. And we will be a light. And the whole world will see, as it says in John 17, as we read on the Passover evening, as they're waiting for the Holy Spirit on Pentecost back then, which we have now, to be at one with one another. Jesus Christ is praying for us to be at one with one another. We can't force it on others. We can only do it for ourselves. So again, point number one, let's make our words to be a blessing to others. Let's be mindful of our words, and let's remember only God can read our minds, our thoughts, and our intents. Point number two, we must hear the words of God, and we must be accurate in our speech. Let's be merciful in our actions and what we conclude. And point number three, we must apply God's ways. And as I said, what's the one thing, the one main focus? We know we can pray for one another, care for one another, be gentle. But how are we going to do that? Part of point number three was we must be humble and think of everyone else as greater than ourselves. If we look at that, and we look at everyone else, whether it's in this room, in the world, as greater than ourselves, if we take that step and be humble, then the words that we speak will come out gracious, loving, and kind.